desire for the Lord to bless His word here this morning. Again, appreciate your prayers. I've written on the board a phrase that I've seen a number of times, seems like lately, preceded by a hashtag, which is a social media tag of a subject that's subject or an idea or a thought that could be searched for, that posts or tweets, etc., could be categorized or grouped by unsung heroes. An unsung hero is thought of to be one who does great deeds but receives little or no recognition for them. An unsung hero. And you see it in different contexts. We've seen it, perhaps what's forefront of my mind, where I've seen it recently, is with the COVID situation and doctors and nurses on the front lines, first responders, etc., that they're the unsung heroes. And someone maybe will have even a yard sign out in the front of their house that'll say, "A hero lives here," or "unsung heroes." And they're referring to those, perhaps, who might work a 16-hour shift day after day after day, just going in and doing the things that need to be done, the things that they feel that they're responsible for to help people that are in the situation. Or it might be, again, first responders or those that are dealing with crisis situations, or police or firefighters or whoever it might be, those who are expending of themselves to great measure, and they don't always receive every day a pat on the back or a great recognition or thanks for the things that they're doing day after day after day, because they're not doing it for that. The idea is that an unsung hero just keeps doing the things that need to be done, whether they receive the praise and recognition for it or whether they don't. Well, Jesus talks about in the book of Matthew, we kind of use this as our starting point, Matthew the 6th chapter and beginning in the first verse, it says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward." But he goes on to say how they should pray in secret, in your closet, because it's not for the benefit of men. The things that you're doing, Jesus said in one place, "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees." You don't have very much. It's just empty. They do the things that they do, and although the things they do may in and of themselves be good, it's good to give to the expenses of the temple. It's good to give to the poor, but it's not good whenever the purpose that you're doing it is to be seen of men. Whenever you throw your change in such a way that they can hear and know, and that it's known of people how much you've given, or that it was a large sum, there's a certain emptiness to that. It almost loses the importance and the meaning of what you're doing whenever you're doing it for that purpose. But there are oftentimes, well, even crowdfunding sites, crowdfunding being a site and a means or an avenue through which a lot of people can contribute a little money to a cause. Well, you have an option if you want to give to so-and-so and their situation or their cause. You can You can choose to have your name known. That they'd be able to know that Clint Doolittle is the one that gave this amount of money, or it can be done anonymously. Well, that's not the focus of my burden this morning. But Jesus here is saying, don't do the things that you're doing to be seen of men. But if we do the things that need to be done, if we do the things that are our duty to do, whether or not people see it and recognize it and praise it and consider it to be something that is worthwhile and something that's praiseworthy and all of those things, if we just keep on keeping on, if we just keep on doing the things that we know to do, there's a reward that comes from our Father in heaven who sees those things. Well, those that make the greatest impact often are not the ones that make the headlines. Those that make the greatest and most lasting impact often don't make the headlines. Unsung heroes. See also sometimes the hashtag or the sign, heroes among us. This morning my thought and my burden is, there are heroes among us. The Lord doesn't seem like always give me a message or a thought in keeping with a certain day. But I feel like this week He did. For there are heroes among us. There are those who do what is their duty to do. Day after day after day after day. Whether or not they receive the praise and the accolades and the recognition of this world or of people, they keep doing it. They're unsung heroes. May not make the headlines, may not be always considered to be the important ones, or as the world would say, the movers or the shakers, the ones that are getting things done. But I want us this morning to consider and recognize the heroic place that a mother is called to fill. In the 1960s, there spread across our country and beyond our own a movement. A movement that I believe was falsely labeled as the Women's Liberation Movement. And it was called so because they felt like women in America were being held in repressive conditions. That women who were in a place of a traditional hierarchical structure or home or family, that they were being held in bondage. That women have greater potential than the things they're doing. That women are capable of much more than changing dirty diapers. That women have far greater capability and skill and talent than the menial or so deemed menial task of a housewife. But yet the idea was that this repressive hierarchical structure of society that had bound America for so long kept women in their expectations of the place of a woman, to think that somehow a woman was not capable of more than being subject unto her husband. These things aren't popular in our world today, but I believe they're true. Our world says that a woman's capable of more. And I wouldn't argue for a moment, except on the point, is there more? Is there something greater? I don't believe this way is oppressive. And I know the world would laugh at me for saying it, by saying, of course, you're a man. But I don't believe the ways of God are oppressive. I do not believe that God looks upon, the scripture teaches us that in Christ there is neither male nor female. Now, it's not to say that that puts us all on equal footing in the place before God or the roles that we are to fill. The scriptures are also very clear that there is to be a clear distinction between male and female, a distinction that God has designed to exist from the creation of the world. That there is to be a very clear delineation in the place and the role that a man fills and the role that a woman fills. And our world and our society has been trying to blur those lines and been trying to say the woman and trying to liberate herself has been trying to say, I am equal with man. I am the same as man. And so blurring the lines. Well, that it's almost hard for people to distinguish today. I remember one time I was at work. Woman that I was talking with there was under a lot of pressure and so forth, and she was tearing up as she was talking and said, I hate this thing of being a woman. Folks, being a woman's not something to be ashamed of. It's not something to erase. It's not something to try to say, well, I have to. There's almost a sad irony in our world today that says we have to celebrate our differences and celebrate who we are. And yet, the idea that if I'm a woman, I have to leave that behind and I have to try to be like the man. The Lord is not calling the woman to be like the man. The Lord is calling the woman to fill the greatest and highest and most honorable place that a woman can fill. That is the place that God created for the woman, where she is clothed with honor and glory from God, where His favor and sanction is upon her, and where she beautifies the role of a woman. That it's not something that is shameful. It's not something that is second class. And the scripture does not teach second class citizenship of the woman. It doesn't teach that the woman in God's sight is inferior to the man or can be less spiritual than the man, but that there is a clear place and a distinction from the role that a woman is to fill and the role that a man is to fill. And whenever we fill our respective roles in the order of God, it works together beautifully. The dysfunction and the trouble and the strife that's in our world today, we want to try to fix it with bandages here and a band-aid over there and legislation over here. You cannot legislate the replacement of a godly mother. You cannot legislate a replacement for a sound godly home. You cannot create laws and rules that replace a godly upbringing from the time a child is young, that they're raised and taught the fear and the of God and in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You can't replace that by society. It's not a village that raises a child. It's a mother and father that are designed to raise a child in the way that a child is to be raised. Oh, I would that our world today could see the beauty of what God's designed. That it's not a second-rate place, but the world, I fear, has lost the vision of what's really important. Well, this idea of women's liberation, I believe, has led to more bondage than it has liberation. We are free in Christ. As the scripture says, there's neither male nor female in Christ. You know, as you look through the Word of God, you'll see written throughout the Word, you'll see stories of women who held a vital place in God's plan. You'll see women who were unsung heroes. You'll see women who maybe didn't make the headlines. They weren't the ones who were seated at the gate. They weren't the ones, perhaps, that were seated upon the throne. And yet their importance was no less than that of their male counterparts. And you see it throughout the scripture of women who submitted themselves to God and the place that God had for them, of God being able to use them in mighty ways to make a difference in the lives of those around them, in the life of the nation of Israel, in the life of their families. The scriptures teach a liberation in and of themselves in the plan and the will and the working of God in societies and in times where women were nothing more than cattle or nothing more than property. The scriptures taught a different way. The scriptures taught in the midst of those societies and where God's way has been taken and has gotten a foothold in nations, you see the effects of it. In the standard of living and the quality of the life of everybody, particularly the woman. So that is the way of God. We see in the very order of nature, the nature of a mother. And what a mother is, and what a mother is to be. You know, among nature, among the animals, a mother will often give her life defending her young. The script Jesus talked about a chicken. As a hen would gather her chicks together. And you realize something of the importance of the place that a mother fills. Whenever Christ is likening his nature and the place, the thing that he was trying to do, to that which is instinctive to a mother, to that which is given to a mother's heart, to defend her young, to draw them up and protect them from danger, to be there for them, to be there whenever they need her, to be there whenever there are predators lurking, to be there whenever there are dangers around, that there is a mother. And she's not here, but I have to say, I'm so thankful for a godly mother. I'm so thankful for one who was willing to say, my highest goal in life is not what the world says is success, but my highest goal in life is to fill the place that God's given me and to have a mother that was there for me. As a hen would gather her chicks together, we see that it is the nature of a mother to protect, to nurture. There are scriptures that talk about as a bear robbed of her whelps, so will, for instance, the enemy come upon thee. And it's an imagery that we can relate to. You'll read as you go into bear country, maybe posted on a sign at the start of the hiking trail or whatever it is. If you see bear cubs, they're cute. Stay away. If you see cubs, the mother is going to be somewhere nearby, and the mother doesn't appreciate our affection for cute little small furry things. Get away. Because it is inherent to a mother's nature to defend to the death my young right there. It's something that's not learned by textbook. It's something that's given by God. You know, the scripture says in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, Second Timothy 3, speaking of the last days, that perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That which is given of God, that which is instinctive even within the animal kingdom, that which is instinctive to the heart and nature of a mother, the warning is here. And I believe if you study out that without natural affection, that it is most likely and naturally referring to the familial bond, the bond of a family, and the nature that God has given within us in our respective roles, that affection and that tendency, that nature, thinking again specifically of the mother this morning, that nature to protect and to nurture and to care and to teach and to sacrifice and to give of herself, that's God-given. And it is to be honored. It is to be respected. It's part of the reason why the Scriptures teach honor thy father and thy mother. That there is something that's God-given that is not shameful, that is not, well, you haven't really reached success if all you are is a mother. You haven't really reached success unless you have achieved the pinnacles of what society deems as success. I don't believe today that that is the pinnacle of success. And I would, the Lord, help us that our minds would not be tainted by the philosophy of the world, by the ideas of the world, and what they claim to be success and importance. For example, Forbes magazine posted an article that I saw the headline of that, well, I'll use names here. If you've ever seen the Babylon Bee, I think it is, it's satire. And it, entirely satire, and it's something false that's trying to make a point with a funny twist. And I, at first, in seeing this headline, I thought, surely this is satire. And I read throughout the article, and it wasn't. It was somebody that was, in all seriousness, quoting a study, and here was the headline. Study proves that moms spend too much time with their kids, liberates working moms everywhere. Study shows that moms spend too much time with their kids, and that liberates working moms everywhere. Folks, the philosophy of the world is poison. The philosophy of the world and the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. That kind of thing is foolishness. And I'm not wanting to be harsh this morning. I know that there are situations and circumstances, and some have had godly mothers, and some have not had godly mothers, and some are in places where they have to provide as a single mother or something. And I'm not diminishing the place that someone may be put in there. But what I want to highlight and expose this morning is a philosophy of this world that says something that's contrary to the ways of God. There is a way of God that is foolishness to this world. There is a way of God that the world may scoff at and say is ridiculous and not needed and outdated and irrelevant. But I want to tell you today, it still works. The world may look on and ridicule and scoff and laugh at us, but in all respect that may be due, I'll say, give me your evidence. I'll say, give me the fruit of what you're teaching. Show me how it's working for our society today. Show me how it's working for families today. Show me how it's teaching morality and instilling godly principles in children today. I don't see it. The way of God still works. The way of God is still beautiful. You see, again, in nature, in creation around us, it works together. It works as the way God intended it. They don't, those animals, mother animals, don't need to go to the bookstore and get a book about modern parenting. The bears today aren't concerned about what 21st century parenting is. There is an instinct that is God-given to raise and nurture and train and teach and sacrifice and defend and provide for the emotional and physical needs, not diminishing the place of a father. That's for another day. But there is a place that a mother is to fill that none other can. There is a place, a God-given place that a mother is to fill that a screen and electronic device cannot replace. There is a place that a mother is to fill that a child caregiver cannot replace. There is a place that a mother is to fill in the life of her child that a teacher cannot replace. Unsung heroes may not receive the praise and accolades of this world, Well, that study went on to say, this stay-at-home mother trend puts women, children, and families at financial peril and threatens marriages everywhere. It said the divorce rates, this study shows, plummet whenever both the mother and father will leave the home to work. And they state that the best thing you can do for your young children is to raise your income level. And that is more important than pushing a child on a swing. Folks, children today are paying the consequence of the philosophies of this world. They're suffering because of it. I would that the enemy, through the world's philosophies today, would not be able to diminish in our minds the importance of pushing a child in a swing, the importance of changing a diaper, the importance of taking a child in. And it's not about just having to endure childish things. It's not about if you can't be anything else. If you can't make anything else of yourself, you can fall back on being a mother. That's not the way God views this role that He created. There's something of a vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Perhaps it wouldn't do damage to the meaning even to say where there is no vision, the children perish. Where there is no vision, we see a generation that's perishing. We see a generation that's suffering because we don't have enough unsung heroes. It's about more, again, than raising the income level and the quality of living. Being able to give your child more toys than their friends have at Christmas time. It's about more than them having a nicer home that the school bus pulls up to than any of their peers. It's about more than being a mom who shuttles your children around, and I would that a mother would at least do that. But it's about more than shuttling your child here and dropping them off and there and dropping them off and dropping them off for that event and this event and this thing over here and that thing over there. And oh, I've done my duty as a mom now, I guess. But I want to say thank you to the unsung heroes. I want to say thank you to those who are willing day after day to get up and do the things of the that the world would scoff at, perhaps, but do the things that need to be done. There is a mentality that goes along with the wisdom of this world today that says the methods of parenting of the past no longer work. This authoritative, the parent is the authority. That doesn't work. Spanking turns children into aggressive beings. Folks, I think the aggression that we see in our world today is not the result of a leather strap on the backside. I think rather a leather strap on the backside could have corrected and prevented some of the violence and the aggression that we see in our world today. Well, don't take my word for it. Proverbs, the 29th chapter. Proverbs 29 and 15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." You know, the place of a mother is about more than birthing a child. It's about more than leaving a child to him or herself. As the modern parenting method goes, be a friend to your child. Reason with your child as you would a peer. Use logic with your child. You can reason through things or just distract them and try to just avoid the showdown or try to just avoid the conflict. Modern parenting. Had someone tell me recently that they gave their children a yes day. You heard of that? Well, if you want to try something like this, I don't suppose if it's in bounds there's anything wrong with it. But a yes day is giving your child whatever they want. You're not allowed to say no to your child for that day. It's yes. There's a better way. And I'm talking again, I'm not talking about not having fun with your children and letting your children go and doing something special. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about a day here and there where we say, you know what, you say where you want to eat or what you want for breakfast and this is your special day. But I'm talking about, again, a philosophy of this world that teaches a modern parenting method that goes hand in hand with that. A child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. Whether it makes the mother ashamed or whether the mother should be ashamed, it bringeth the mother to shame. Because mothering is about so much more than birthing a child and turning them loose into the world to be raised and governed and guided by peers and friends and neighbors, parents, and screen time and babysitters. There's a higher calling than that. And it is the calling of a mother in the order that God has given and set forth in Scripture. I'd like to just remind us quickly of a passage in 1 Corinthians found in the 12th chapter, and it's talking about members of the body. Believe the body of Christ, specifically the members of the body, and it's talking about the importance of the different gifts in the body, the importance that the different members of the body play in the functioning of that body. For instance, if you're not the eye, don't say, well, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of use to the body. Because every member has their place. And every member's place is not to be diminished because it's not some other place or it's not some other position. That works. Again, folks, the way of God works. The way of God brings results of peace and righteousness. What does the Scripture say, in fact, about in James, about the two different kinds of wisdom? The wisdom which is from above is first, someone help me, pure, peaceable, I believe, easily to be entreated. There's fruit that comes along with. There's a result that comes with the ways of God. It works. It produces results. It is tried and true. And it still works today. But the wisdom from beneath, the wisdom of this world is first earthly and then sensual and then devilish. It trends in that direction. It trends and it produces those things in a child. In society, that's what the wisdom of this world tends unto. Lord, help us to adopt the wisdom of God. Amen. To submit ourselves unto the wisdom of God because it works and it is a beautiful picture. It works together beautifully just as the members of the body. If the wisdom of this world would say, this is really the contrast. The wisdom of this world might would say, well, this particular member is a more comely member. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to set my sights on. There's no other place for me but to be that one member of the body. So the wisdom of this world would try to erase the differences and God-given distinctions between man and woman. That is to complement one another and strengthen one another and to work together in harmony, blending together in a beautiful picture of how it works together. And as a result of that working in the order of God, in the body of Christ, it produces harmony and peace and love among the brethren. You can't force that kind of thing. You can't get people into a room and say, okay, you're going to do this and you're going to do that and you're going to love that. You just can't do it. But when you follow the order of God, it produces those results as nothing else can. So it is within the family unit. There are members of the body, members of that family unit, that are to fill their respective places in the order that God has given. And when that happens, it'll work. It'll work together. Unless the enemy would get any advantage over us in accusation. I want to clarify here. I believe even the most godly of parents, their children are still going to reach an age of accountability, an age where they have to make a decision for themselves whether I'm going to go the right way, the straight and narrow way, or the broad way. I don't believe the parent filling their place removes the child's choice in that matter. But I do believe that it provides a foundation. I believe it provides an understanding from which God is able to come in and deal with their soul and bring conviction. And many times I've heard the stories of those that say that have gone out into the world, I can't even enjoy it like my friends do, because I know I was taught different and I can't get away from that. The scripture says when they are old, they will not depart from it. There is something about the place of a mother and a father working together in harmony and accordance to God's word that will give a child a far greater head start than having a padded bank account. A far greater head start than buying their first car. It's to give them something within that they have a foundation to draw from. There's a picture that keeps coming to my mind. I don't want to shine the spotlight here too much, but I've seen Katrina combing Hannah's hair as she's raising her up, a young girl, and I've listened to the conversations that happened during that time. And it's times of instruction, that the questions that she'll ask, and Mom, what about this? And what, and they're, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, whatever it takes to comb her hair. I hear that instruction that's being given over and over again. Folks, don't underestimate. Don't undervalue the importance. Or if we can put it the way it's said in Galatians, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. I've heard women say after the birth of a child, oh, I am so glad to get back to work. I couldn't take that anymore. Well, you could be an unsung hero too. There's something in filling the place of God. It's not necessarily going to be easy. But let's turn here maybe in closing to the 31st chapter of Proverbs. We didn't read the scripture in Titus. I think we're familiar with it. That the young women, scripture says, teach them that they be keepers at home. Well, let's look at an example of what that looks like. Proverbs, the 31st chapter and the 10th verse says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And the most of the rest of this chapter, won't read it all here for the sake of time, but it highlights. And it's written in the form, I believe it's called acrostic. They use a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet in every one of these verses to highlight a different attribute of the wife and the mother. Well, what were some of those attributes? One, it's rare. She's a rare treasure. He that findeth a wife, the scripture says, findeth a good thing. But it's not just finding somebody that you can call a wife. It's not just the fact that a child is born to you. There's more to being a mother or a wife than that. There are these attributes of an unsung hero that go deeper than that. And if I can just summarize what I believe some of these scriptures say are some of those traits. She's rare. She's trustworthy. Constant in her love and devotion. Industrious. Thrifty. A self-starter. Enterprising and an entrepreneur. A hard worker. Works long hours. Even through monotonous work. Is compassionate. Looks and thinks ahead. Is wise and kind. If you were an employer looking to hire somebody, and you find somebody with these qualifications, you think you'd want to hire him? Thank the Lord there are unsung heroes among us. It's a rare trait. Characteristic that's not valued very highly in our world today. But I want to remind us, in God's sight, it's of great price. It is of great esteem, and it has a far greater and longer lasting, further reaching impact than what I believe this world would ever give credit for. May not make the headlines, may not be buildings and streets named after somebody who gives themselves to being a mother. But it has eternal benefits. It has long-lasting, far-reaching benefits that are hard to be fully estimated. Thank the Lord this morning for the beautiful plan of God and for everyone who is willing to see the vision of the beauty of it and give themselves day after day after day to fulfilling the place of a mother. Amen.